the disciples were about to witness the person that they believed to be the Messiah suffer and die on the cross, and Christ knew that they had to have something that would give them hope during that time. It says that the disciples went with Christ as he went up to the mountain to pray, and that they were sleeping, and that it says when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and two men who stood with him. So they were sleeping as Christ prayed. This happened again, of course, later on in the Gospels. But as they woke up, they saw this bright, shining light. Now, this was a reality that was always there. Christ was God the entire time that they knew him, but Christ chose not to reveal that to them prior to now. And here he gave them a glimpse of his divinity, in as much as they were able to bear it, so that they would have that faith. But it's important to know that this was just a matter of their eyes being opened spiritually and then being able to see something that was already there. And also, the fathers tell us that this was a glimpse of the age to come. We're told in the book of Revelation, when it talks about the New Jerusalem, it says, there shall be no light there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The light in heaven is the light of God's eternal glory, the uncreated light of God. And that's what they got a glimpse of on that day. We didn't know what was in a teaspoon of pond water until we invented the microscope. And all of a sudden we were able to see that there was this whole world that we didn't know about. And as microscopes developed their complexity, we've continued to see more and more things that were always there that we didn't know. And on the other hand, we now have telescopes. We even have the Hubble Space Telescope. We're able to see things that we were never able to see before. But the fact that we're now able to see them didn't mean that they didn't exist before we were able to see them. And the fact that we're not able to see the glory of God, most of us in this life, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that there's not a reality there. And one of the important things that we need to keep in mind is, what was the reaction of the apostles when they were in the presence of the glory of God? When you look at that icon, you see awe, reverence, fear, and trembling. That's the attitude that we should approach the holy things of God, even when we don't see the uncreated light surrounding them, because we know that that's a reality by faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, we're told in the book of Hebrews. And faith, if we have it, enables us to believe in that which we can't see. And there are realities that God works in our life that become evidence through our faith. God works wonders in our lives, and that becomes evidence. And God gives us, if we're faithful to him, he gives us little things in our life that are anchors where we can point back, even when we're going through times of doubt, times of uncertainty, where we can look back and say, well, I know God did that for me. I know that I had, that this happened, and this is an unshakable thing in my life. And if you are faithful to God, he will give you something like that in this life that you'll be able to anchor your hope on. But if you read the scriptures, there's all kinds of other things that you can see that will build up your faith. If you read the lives of the saints, you'll see how God worked in the lives of other people. And these things will give you that hope and that strength that will be able to take you through the dark hours like the apostles had to go through during Christ's passion. But as believers, keep in mind, we live in a culture where there is no sense of the sacred. Protestants typically have a view of religion that basically religion is a religion of the mind. It's all up here and all in here, and that nothing in this physical world is of any real spiritual significance. And I speak this having been a Protestant, because I remember when I was in college and we were in a prayer chapel at my school, and they had what they called an altar, but it was basically a kneeling rail around the front of the altar that people would come and pray. And I was sitting on that rail, and there was a Nazarene girl who was the daughter of a missionary, and she had grown up in Puerto Rico, where because of the Catholic influence, she had some sense of things being sacred that I had not grown up with. And she said, you shouldn't be sitting on that. I said, why? It's just a piece of wood. We it's only useful when we come and pray, but otherwise, if we're not using it for prayer, it has no real meaning. Well, that's the attitude of our culture. It doesn't matter. Nothing's sacred. Nothing's important. But we as Orthodox Christians need to understand that these things are sacred. This church is consecrated to God. It has the gifts on the altar. And so when you enter into the church, you should enter with the fear and trembling that you see with the apostles there. Because if you were granted a glimpse, if you were able to see the spiritual reality that is already there, you would see that the glory of God is here. And so when you come into this church, you need to approach with reverence, with love, and with fear. Not the fear of someone that you can't trust, but the kind of reverent fear that you have for your parents, if you have the right kind of reverence for your parents that you should have. One day, everyone will look at God and reverence Him, we're told. In the Epistle to the Philippians, St. Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Those who have loved Christ and served Him and reverenced Him in this life will do so joyfully on that day, that final day of judgment. But those that have mocked God, those that have tried to pretend that there isn't a God, will also bow, they'll also confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, but they'll do so to their sorrow and deep regret. So, each and every one of us needs to make sure that we are giving Christ the reverence and the love that's due to Him now, so that we can be among those that bow and confess Him on that day with joy. Amen.